This is Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. There's more at my website, allbook-books.com, and the Substack page, which you can find through the website homepage, Musings from Between the Lines. Poems and essays and new stuff. Couldn't think of a thing to do this week, so decided to just read some of a few of the first paragraphs of Ray Bradbury's short stories. Recently got a copy of his book, The Golden Apples of the Sun and Other Stories. What's amazing to me is, reading a few so far, is that most of them were written in the 1950s. But they read like, they were written today, and they read kind of timeless. And one of his guiding lights for my writings for many, many years is just the aliveness and the energy that he puts into it, the poetic, the flow. Spontaneity, whatever you call it, but it catches you. And the first paragraph obviously is important because that's your sort of first impression as a writer, and a lot of times you're gonna catch somebody or lose them right there. Sometimes a reader will, you know, a story will take a while to get into, but definitely it's good to start off good. And something I learned years ago, I realized when I meet people. I pay a very special attention to that first impression, because I found that often there's a clue or a sign to the overall person or the behavior or what they're like, which can play out years later or times later, where I realized, oh, I forgot when I first met them, I wondered if that person was so-and-so. And then it turned out they were, but I overlooked it because they acted friendly or something like that. So I'm big on paying attention to first impressions, which isn't necessarily an exact connection to what I'm talking about. But it comes to mind because a book gives a first impression, a story gives a first impression, even a poem. That's why headlines in the media are so big, because they're supposed to grab you. And a lot of times they'll put the key information towards the end of the article, which is a subtle form of propaganda. But I go off on different tangents as I think of what is that first impression. And there's something about it in a kind of negative way that it's meant to catch people, catch their attention. Headlines, news, a lot of it is the terror to scare people and to emotionally jerk them around. So, you know, whenever you pick up a newspaper, you read an article, odds are your emotions are being played. I mean, I almost went into advertising, so I apply that to headlines and titles and stuff that are, catchy, because they want to catch the attention. I want it to be interesting or different or something like that. So, yeah, all kinds of different tricks of the trade. So anyway, here's Ray Bradbury's short story, The Foghorn, which begins. Out there in the cold water, far from land, we waited every night for the coming of the fog. And it came, and we oiled the brass machinery and lit the fog light up in the stone tower. Feeling like two birds in the gray sky, McDunn and I sent the light touching out, red, then white, then red again, to eye the lonely ships. And if they did not see our light, then there was always our voice, with a capital V, and great deep cry of our foghorn shuddering through the rags of mist to startle the gulls away like decks of scattered cards and make the waves turn high and foam. It's a lonely life, but you're used to it now, aren't you? Asked McDunn. Yes, I said, you're a good talker, thank the Lord. Anyway, it goes on and on, but yeah, it's lots of good stuff in there. Obviously, the rhythm is very poetic and flowing, and the wonderful image there, through the rags of mist to startle the gulls away like decks of scattered cards. And the second story, The April Witch. Into the air, over the valleys, under the stars, above a river, a pond, a road, flew Cece. invisible as new spring winds, fresh as the breath of clover rising from twilight fields, she flew. She soared in doves as soft as white ermine, stopped in trees and lived in blossoms, showering away in petals when the breeze blew. She perched in a lime green frog, cool as mint by a shining pool. She trotted in a brambly dog and barked to hear echoes from the sides of distant barns. She lived in new April grasses, in sweet, clear liquids rising from the musky earth. It's spring, thought Cece. I'll be in every living thing in the world tonight. Now she inhabited neat crickets on the tar pool roads, now prickled in dew on an iron gate. Hers was an adaptably quick mind flowing unseen upon Illinois winds on this one evening of her life when she was just 17. I want to be in love, she said. So that sets up the premise of she goes into another woman's body because she can't do it on her own. That was a little more than the first paragraph. But you definitely hear the, I can hear the rhythm, the sound of that. He just, whatever. It's that's why to me, you know, I listen to a lot of music and there's like a jazz bebop sound to the Bradbury's rhythm. Hey, one more. This is The Flying Machine. In the year AD 400, the Emperor Juan, that's Y-U-A-N, not Hispanic, the Emperor Yuan, in the year AD 400, the Emperor Yuan held his throne by the Great Wall of China, and the land was green with rain, readying itself toward the harvest. At peace, the people in his dominion neither too happy nor too sad. Now, right there, the thing that I was avoiding reading stories because I didn't want to influence my story writing too much, but the thing that I picked up from, I wanted to, you know, add, see what I could add and touch up some of my stories and what Bradbury does that I could tweak a little bit of that and take a little bit of that and pop it in. So the lines that stand out to me, that how much he can convey in a sentence, the land was green with rain. So he shows you what the land looks like and then he tells you, he gives you what the weather was like for the last however amount of time. So it's very poetic, but it's also, he conveys a lot in a short amount and he gives you a little image. So that's what I picked up as far as my writing tips from Bradbury, just from reading so far a few stories in this 300-something page book. The land was green with rain, so that, you know, you could tweak that to your own. The sky was black with stars. Sometimes you can just borrow. I mean, you can borrow a rhythm and switch the words and switch the idea and use, you know, literally you're using somebody else's rhythm and thing, but you're not, because not plagiarizing. I suppose you don't really need to footnote. You could to say you got it from there, but you know, writers do that a lot. So anyway, first impressions are a big deal, especially when it comes to writing. So spruce up your openings. And to add one more thing, though, since the title of this episode is First Impressions, the First Peoples. Much of my writings and studies have to do with learning about and respect, speaking up as much as I can for the First Peoples who are outside the perimeters of the most of the world news and much of Western so-called civilization and mainstream and the intellectual pursuits and all that stuff up in so-called Canada, called the First Nations, but otherwise often Indigenous peoples or original peoples in the U.S., also known as Turtle Island, Native peoples. So these are generic phrases for the individual peoples, nations, but at least some of that accuracy helps to clarify. And part of the respect, which means to look again or to look back or look again, comes from the First Peoples being the first here, with the earth. If you look back thousands and thousands of years into their cultures and records and this and that, it's way before all these current nation states and countries and whatever clamoring for resources and positioning on the geopolitical chessboard. So those old, those traditional ways and the languages are essential for helping with what everybody supposedly is aware of and trying to do, which is help right the mothership Earth, so things go along more smoothly and healthily. And also to mention, I heard an interview a while ago with a native person on First Voices Radio, I think it was. And I forget exactly who, so I won't mention, but there was the mention of the First Peoples. That even that, I think it was Professor Tinker, might have been Orrin Lyons, but I think it was Tinker, mentioning that the First Peoples, or the First Nations, was actually... like the people weren't even here first. That's the respect and the humbleness that native peoples, First Peoples, have, is that they realized that they were not even here first. So they have such respect for the rocks and the beings, the grandfathers, many call them the grandfathers, or the trees and the earth itself. These are all elders. So they get the first respect, and then the First Peoples. Not an exact equation there, but you know, they get the first respect, and then the First Peoples, which is just so more refreshing than the arrogance and the egotism and the anthropocentric view that is so espoused. So again, first impressions, they make a strong impression. Don't overlook them. Thanks for listening and be well.